As we prepare to hear the words from John's Gospel
for us this morning, I would invite you to stand as well. Hear these words that begin with John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of Scripture this day, for their claim upon our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, and upon our daily lives. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that you will give us a sense of peace and comfort from all of the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our Redeemer. For we ask and pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Which of these statements is true? When Dorothy returns from the whirlwind trip to Oz, she realizes that there is no place like home. She discovers that home truly is where the heart is, and she experiences those blessings and the love of her family once again as she returns. On the other hand, Thomas Wolfe's famous novel informs us that you cannot go home again. Oh, we might be able to physically go home, but the situations, the people, the times, the places, all of that has changed, and it will not really be the same. The home that is in our memory just doesn't exist anymore. So can we go home or can we not? All of us yearn for home. It's great to go back home. Again, I remember a few years ago, even when my parents just remodeled the kitchen, my older brother said, "It's not home anymore." Gee whiz, really? But home stirs up some deep emotions. Now, for probably the majority of us, they are positive emotions, and I understand for some of us, they are not positive. Probably you can ask anyone in present today or anyone out on the street of any age to describe the home where they grew up, and they'll be able to tell you about the layout of the floor plans, what their room was like, how their room was decorated, perhaps even what mealtime was like and where everyone sat around the table. Home and the memory of homes are a part of who we are, and those memories travel with us throughout our lives. Home is supposed to be a safe place. But what if we did not have a home to go back to? What if there was no one and no place that welcomed us? We're just completing its seasons within the church, the celebrations of Advent and Christmas. And today is the last day of the Christmas season because tomorrow with Epiphany, things change again. In the past month, we've planned about the coming of the Christ child, the light coming into the world. In essence, Jesus is coming home. We've watched for the light. We've prepared for the light. We've journeyed through the season of Advent with waiting and expectations. Oh, we may not have put up homecoming banners for Jesus, but we have progressively lit the candles on the Advent wreath from 1 to 2 and 3 and 4, and then Christmas Eve lighting all 5. Until we've come to that day of amazement, that day of joy and celebration, knowing that the Christ had come to dwell in our midst and among us. Finally, that celebration that Christ arrived, that Christ had indeed come home again. The Word was living among us. The one who was with God had come to live and to enjoy that human life, the one who had been known from the very beginning. The Word became flesh and lived among us. The next miracle is supposed to be the celebration of Epiphany, when we rejoice that the light shines. It shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. But there's a problem. The scriptures tell us that Jesus was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. And so perhaps Thomas Wolfe was correct that you really can't go home again. The homecoming celebration fell flat because when the guest of honor showed up, it turned out that no one recognized him. Or perhaps even worse, they did not know him. They didn't open their hearts to him. They did not welcome him. And we have perhaps the saddest verse in all of Scripture. Jesus came into the world that he has known even before the world knew him, and the world ignores him, and they did not know him. How could his own people not recognize or acknowledge the Christ child? Why can't Jesus go home? What is going on here? We know what we want it to be. We want it to be that Hallmark card with a great story and a great ending. We want it at least to be that Folgers coffee commercial. Remember when that son comes in the home and gets the coffee brewing in the morning, Christmas morning, I think it is, and the smell of that fresh coffee aroma wafting up through the home, and the sister comes down, surprise, and the mom and dad, and it is a wonderful homecoming of hugs and smiles. That's what homecoming is supposed to be like. Or we want it to be like the yellow ribbon on the old oak tree. Not only one ribbon, but hundreds of ribbons tied upon that tree, welcoming that individual once again home. What went wrong? How can the people of God even today not recognize the Son of God? Well, Jesus offers us a little hint today when he says, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, Jesus gave power to become children of God, because clearly many people, even most, are not prepared. Perhaps they're not ready for the arrival of Jesus into the world, into their homes. Perhaps they haven't felt properly prepared, not realizing that Jesus takes us as we are, underestimating perhaps even how eager Jesus is to be a part of the lives of each and every one of us. Perhaps are too caught up in their day-to-day lives to know just how much Jesus wants to offer grace and forgiveness to each and every one of us. For whatever the reason, they didn't recognize the transforming power and the renewing love that Jesus has brought with him into each and every one of our lives. The people just didn't know him. And maybe even perhaps they weren't looking for him. And so Jesus would later on say, well, you know, if you seek, you will then find. And perhaps the opposite is also true. If we're not looking and we're not seeking, we'll not find, or even, God forbid, not recognize God who is right there in front of us. See, my friends, when we are willing to be open and to welcome the God who knocks on the doors of our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, then the scriptures tell us that we will be given the power of faith. We will receive that grace upon grace that is being offered to us, but then we will take that first step, the willingness to invite Christ into our hearts, our minds, and into our spirits, our daily lives and living. So I guess back to the question, the wizard or wolf? And perhaps the answer lies within each and every one of us, because Jesus Christ always wants to enter in. We have that image of Jesus knocking at the door. And now is the time for us in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, and even the world to say, hey, Jesus, welcome home. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we seek to welcome you home into our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our daily lives and living. Even now, O God, prepare us to receive Christ in this holy meal, a meal of grace and forgiveness, a meal that offers us new life and opportunity to turn it all around and to begin anew. O God, this we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.